Welcome to Library Lines, the voice of your Sussex County library system. My name is Regina Bone, along with
Sarah Brannigan.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Regina.
How you doing?
Doing pretty well.
Very good.
Doing pretty well.
Very excited today. I think begins spring.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're giving everybody a clue as what day we're recording. But I think it's long overdue.
Very long overdue.
And a lot of
we had a good winter.
We did. We had a very good winter, but we have a lot of exciting things coming up in the library, and we're going to be talking about some of those today. So let's get going. Welcome, Heather Lubchansky. She's our systems administrator, head of IT here at Sussex County Library System. Welcome, Heather.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. A lot of changes happening in the last few months at the Sussex County Library System, and we're going to go through all that and a few other things. Right, Sarah?
That's right.
Okay, let's get started. Heather, first, are you originally from New Jersey or Sussex County?
I am a Jersey girl through and through.
All right.
I am originally from New Jersey, born and raised, still living here. I'm originally from Morris County, but I spent a lot of time up here in Sussex County as a kid and sort of naturally made my way up here after college, and I haven't left.
How did you come to work at Sussex County Library System?
I've had many different jobs before I got here. My degree is actually not anything related to library. I have a degree in biology, and I started working out with a lot of the farmers here in the county. And then I transitioned to teaching. I was teaching high school science for a while. Took a break from paid employment to have my family, and found that I was spending an awful lot of time at the library, going to story times, checking out books with my kids. I was trying to register them for a program one day, and I typed into Google Sussex County Library, and I was looking for events, and employment auto-filled for me. And I went, oh, okay, let's see what they have to offer. And at the time, they had a very, very part-time page position, library page position. It was 10 and a half hours a week. And I said, this will be great. This will be a great way to get back to work. And so that's kind of how I found my way here. And someone took a chance and hired me.
What branch did you start at?
Sussex Wantage.
You did. Oh, my goodness.
I had no idea you were a teacher.
I was.
Wow.
Yeah.
I taught for a little bit, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah. How many years did you teach?
About three.
Okay.
So I really enjoyed it. And actually, as part of my journey through the library here, I did spend some time in youth services. And so my teaching experience kind of related to that, and I really enjoyed that.
Your first job here, what inspired you to work in the systems department?
I think I have done all of the jobs in the library. I started as a library page. I did work at the circulation desk next. There was days when they needed someone to fill in for courier, so I rose my hand and did some courier work. There was a position that opened in the youth services department, and I thought that I would really enjoy that. So I did work with youth services for a few years. I really, really enjoyed it. It probably is still my favorite position that I've had here because I got to blend my teaching experience and the library work all together. But I did find myself becoming the person that everybody went to when there was anything wrong with a computer or a spreadsheet or any problem. And I realized that I actually do really enjoy the technology side of work quite a bit. And so when the position for the systems administrator opened up, I decided to try it. And it was a good risk. I really enjoy it.
So were you always a techie, or was that something you discovered along your journey?
Definitely not a techie, but I would say that I've always kind of been torn in my life. I've always really loved reading. I've loved English. I've loved learning languages. I also really loved science. So for me, when I was trying to decide what to do for college, it almost came down, it was a coin toss. It was really, I was filling out college applications and said, what major do you want to declare? And I was looking at English, I was looking at science, and I went, I have no idea. I ended up going more towards the science route because I figured I can take lots of language classes, I can read whenever I want, but I need access to the equipment that a university or something like that has to offer. So that was more of my training, but I have found that technology is a really great blend of all of those skills. You need to be curious. You need to be able to problem solve. You need to know languages. There's so many computer languages out there. And working in the library really fulfills my love of reading and that aspect. So I've sort of evolved into a techie, and I'm still learning the process, but I really, really enjoy it.
Since taking the helm of the IT department, what are some of the major changes here in the library system?
the last few years have been a wild ride. Some of the changes that we've had are behind the scenes. They've been for staff and ways that we adapted when the library was closed to the public. We have had a lot of updates to our equipment in the back end, and we've gotten more mobile.
Now, how long have you been head of the department?
I've been here since 2019, so about 4 years. A lot of the equipment that we had needed to be updated, so there's been a lot of infrastructure changes behind the scenes. Staff needed to work in a more mobile capacity, so we've switched over how we do our work a lot. But that has also translated to things on the public side, too. We have a lot of different things. If you walk into our buildings now, we have digital signs to show where our programs are. We have different layouts for our computers in some of our buildings that are spaced out differently than they were before. We have a lot more mobile things to offer the public. So we have hotspots to lend out. We have iPads to lend out. We have laptops that people can use in our buildings. We have Chromebooks that people can check out. So those are all different things that are new to the library since I've been here.
Working on a branch, I've noticed our hotspots are very, very popular. Mm-hmm. A lot of people may not know what they entail. Can you explain them a little bit?
As far as how we got them?
They work, how does a patron get access to them?
So anybody who lives here in Sussex County knows that the access to the internet is not spectacular. It's great in some places, it's not great in others. We kind of identified that there was a need for the public in our area to have consistent access to the internet. And so there was a grant opportunity that came up while we were going through the motions of COVID. And it was for areas that did not have great access to the internet for their students and their library patrons to be able to apply for and get Chromebooks and hotspots. And so that was one of the opportunities that we kind of jumped on here. And we were able to get 60 hotspots to lend out to people in the area that didn't have access to high quality broadband in their homes or at their work or at their school. And so we kind of got them through that route, and it's been obviously a need that the county has taken advantage of because they need it. The hotspots work through T-Mobile, and it's almost like having a little cell phone that just gives you internet access. It's a little tiny black box, you take it home, you turn it on, and it gives you access. You can connect up to 5 devices to it, and you can stream movies or you can do work. So they're a big help, and I think that they serve a great need for our county and our patrons.
That's terrific. I had no idea that you could connect up to 5 devices to a hotspot, and they are wildly popular.
They're
grateful.
Yes. There are times when there's none on the shelf. So there's times when they're all out.
I know patrons who have taken them on vacation, road trips, mm-hmm. and loved it.
Yep.
It's a great service.
I've done that.
Yeah. It works.
Very helpful.
Yeah.
We've used it in cases, too, where we're starting to do more outreach to the community. And so if we want to take books with us or sign up library patrons, we can use them for that reason as well, where we can connect one of our staff devices to them and basically bring the mobile library out to where the people are.
Yeah, that's another service we haven't seen in a long time, so that's fantastic.
Another new thing that we have rolled out in the last few years is a streaming service where our patrons, our library patrons, can look at videos or listen to music or read comic books, and that's our service called Hoopla. So it's different than a traditional ebook service that we have also, which is the Cloud Library one that does ebooks and e-audiobooks. Hoopla also offers a wide variety of content, such as you can look at TV shows, movies, listen to music. You can get access to magazines. They have something called a binge pass where you can get full access to all the magazines they have to offer for 7 days. It works really well, and it's more like a Netflix type of service where they just have a library of here's all the things we have, and anybody can check them out at the same time as long as they have access to them.
So I like that for book clubs. I think
it
that's
is
great for book clubs.
It's also great for schools.
Ah.
Because a class could all check out the same book at the same time.
Fantastic.
So that brings me to another thing that we have is we do have a card that's developed just for school kids in the county. And their teachers. And basically, if the school enrolls in our program, then what we do is we work with the school to create a library card. It's a digital library card for all the students in the school. So what will happen is all the kids get a barcode that's based on their school ID number, and mm-hmm. they can access any digital service that we have. So our cloud library ebooks, our Hoopla services, anything that you can get that's a magazine digitally, our newspapers, things like that. They can't come into the library and check out a book.
Right.
They'd have to get a full library card for that. But everything else that you can do online through our website, they'll have access to in their classroom.
And how's that going? Are you able to see, you know, usage through
yeah,
digital
it's,
stuff?
It's going very well. I've mm-hmm. seen that there have been a few classes that have taken advantage of what we were just talking about, where
okay.
they all wanted to look at the same book at the same time, either audiobook version or ebook version. So they're definitely making use of it.
Is it mostly high school level?
It works the best for high school and also for middle school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Yep.
Well, we're always trying to make the patrons' experience easier and more efficient. Tell us some features of the new library app we have.
Yes, so we have a brand new app, and you can get it on the Google Store or the App Store. It has some really great features that I particularly really enjoy. One of them is family groups, so you can add in multiple library cards on your account within the app, so you can see what everyone in your house has checked out. You can renew their items through there. You can place requests on their card through there. And the nice thing is that the app will display your library barcode. So when you come into the library, if you're picking up things that you have on hold for yourself and other people in your household, you can easily switch through and show everybody's library card.
Oh, that's great for families.
I didn't even know that.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. The other thing is that you can look at our events calendar, and it displays it in a really nice mobile-friendly way. And you can go ahead and register for the event right through the app, and you don't have to go to another page to do that. So if you want to sign up for story time or for one of our adult programs, you can do that right by looking at the events section. You can download an ebook right through the app. So if it's connected to our catalog and you find the ebook or the audiobook there, you can click the download button and it will download it to your device right at that instance. You have to go into the Cloud Library app to read it, but at least you'll have checked it out. So if you see something and you don't want to forget to read it later, you can just click it and take care of it right there. You can actually send prints to the library to be picked up at one of our printers right through our app. So if you have a picture on your phone, or a form that you need to print out for one of your kids at school, or other forms that were sent to you that you need to fill out by somebody.
That's through the mobile library app you
yep.
can do that? You don't have to have a separate app for that?
You do not. So you can click on our app, and you can click on the little button that says wireless printing, and it'll take you to the page that walks you through all the steps of how to do it. So
I will try it.
Well.
I will too. I am learning a lot today.
Okay.
Because I had no idea about that. All I know is really from the app, and I use it, is how easy it is to put books on hold.
Yes, that is a feature that a lot of people really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
It is definitely, it's easy to go through the catalog, to place a book on hold. One of the nice things that the app does is it will detect where you are if you give it that permission, and it will show you where the nearest library is, which is one of my favorite features.
Wow.
So if you're looking for a book and you want it today, it'll show you where the nearest library is to go to, and then you can go to our catalog, see if the library has that book before you drive over. So I love that part of it.
Wow.
Yeah. Double wow.
Has it been popular?
The app? It
yes.
definitely has.
Yes.
We've definitely gotten, since we pretty much rolled it out at the beginning of the year, we've had over 1,000 downloads of it already. So there's a lot of people taking advantage of it, a lot of people using it. Probably my favorite part is that you can use the app to see if the library has a book when you're out and about. So if you're at a bookstore, or you're at book club and somebody says, hey, have you read this yet? All you need to do is flip the book that you're looking at over and to the back to the UPC barcode on the back. You scan it with the app and it'll tell you if the library has it and where you can get it from. So you don't need to go and buy it if you don't want to.
Can it tell you to suggest the library buy it if the library doesn't have it through the app?
That is a feature that the app has that we don't have turned on right now.
Okay.
But we always take suggestions here. So if it's something that you want to see, we can work on it.
Yeah, I think that's a great feature.
Yeah. It is in the cloud library, although you're not scanning a UPC code to
right.
get to it. But
right. You can suggest a title.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. A new integrated printing system was installed earlier this year that has a lot of great features. How will this benefit our patrons' experience?
So in addition to the fact that they can now send their prints or their things that they need to print out from anywhere, not just their mobile device, but you can send it from home. So if your printer runs out of ink and you realize you need something quickly, just say, hey, I'm going to send it to the library and go pick it up there. You can send a print from a laptop that you're working on in the library, so you don't need to be on one of our computers. In addition to that, we can accept credit card payments now. So if you are printing out a very large print job and it's more than you have in your pocket, you can use a credit card, you can use Apple Pay, you can use Google Pay, Android Pay, anything that you can tap to pay. You can walk up to the where the prints come out, you can tap it on there, and it will print out your print for you.
Okay, and that's just for printing, correct?
Just for printing, okay. Right now, yeah. Yep. And it works very well, and there's no minimum. So if you are printing out one black and white page and it's 15 cents, you can go ahead and put it on your credit card if you prefer.
Wow, I don't think I knew that either. Very nice.
And along with that, we have a new scanning and faxing center that will allow you to do some things beyond just faxing. So you can fax, you can scan a document, you can also then print it out. You can do a lot of different things once you scan it. You can have it emailed to you. You can have it converted to different file formats. So if you come in and you have a job application or something that's printed out and you need to fill it in, you can scan it and it will convert the document into a Word document, and then you can sit at the computer and work on it.
So, that I didn't know.
Yes.
I love the scanner. I love it, love it, love it. Use it all the time.
Yeah. Yes.
But I didn't know that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it can also translate. So if you have something, if you have a job application or something, maybe English is not your first language and you need help with that, you can take a document over, you can put it on the scanner bed, and you can choose what language you want it changed to, and it will convert that and send it to you either as a text file or an audio file. So the other great thing is if you are working with somebody or you need to try to help someone and you don't speak the language that they speak, you could print something out, scan it, and then have it speak it to them. So it's going to build up our accessibility for our community, and that's a great service to have.
Yes, it is.
I'm going to try that feature myself when I get back. That's fantastic.
So, Heather, besides the fact that we just got a new integrated system as far as printing is concerned, how is advancing technology going to affect public libraries in the next 5 to 10 years, maybe beyond?
I think that we are on the edge of a new world. And I know that everybody is always in a time where like, oh, we're right at the beginning of something new. But for those of you that have been kind of paying attention to the, in the news to the new AI features, ChatGPT and some of the other ones that work for illustrations as well, we're going to come into a time when people are really going to need libraries' help to figure out if something is real or fake. And I think that that's going to be kind of a role that we're going to pivot to in the future, where people are going to have to kind of rely on libraries to help them sort through all of the information that's out there. There's so much information out there now, and I feel like with the new development of these different AI programs, it's going to explode in a way that I'm not sure that everyone is ready for. So I feel like libraries are going to help steer people through that. And I know that as that technology progresses, I know that our training and our understanding of what it is going to also kind of progress. The other thing, too, is that there is so much technology available to people right now that I think libraries are going to become centers for technology literacy as well. So there's a big difference between technology being available and technology being understood, and that's the literacy part of it. So a lot of people will say, oh, you know, young kids have all this technology, they're so great at it. I'm not sure that that's true. I think that they have it. I'm not sure that they do know how to use it. So I feel like in the future, the libraries are going to become the place where people can go to say, not just, can you help me find this book, but can you help me understand my device? Can you help me understand how to find the information I need? There's too much out there. I don't know what I'm looking for. And that's kind of where I see us going in the next 5, 10, and even beyond.
It can be very overwhelming.
It is really overwhelming. Mm. I mean, if you just do a Google search for, you know, anything, bananas, you get so much information when really all you want to know is where are the bananas on sale. You know, it's just like there's just a ton out there, and it's hard to sift through all that noise.
Mm. Are we prepared for this?
I don't know. It's a little bit scary. You know, it's a little bit scary to know that, you know, you could just type in a few prompts and have a whole thing written. And especially our business is books, right? So how are you going to know if it was written by an author or not? And I think that's going to be something that we're going to have to pay close attention to.
I think it is. And I think that educators are going to have an interesting time with it.
And we're here to support them.
Uh-huh.
So we'll have to
be
helping them out with that.
Yeah, because they're saying students can go on and bring up a report thesis in minutes with this AI. I didn't even think about authors. Can they just bring up a new book?
They sure can.
One, two, three, like that?
And I've even heard, I know from our library perspective, we have a lot of record keeping that we do on the back end to keep records for our books and how we catalog them. And from what I understand, that you can use these tools to create the cataloging records as well. And so that's going to be something where we can't just rely on it. If it comes in, we're going to have to keep a close eye and make sure that it was done correctly. Mm. I think teachers are very smart, and I think that they are very savvy, and I think they will figure out ways to determine whether the paper was written by their student or not. I think that people's unique voice is still going to exist, and I think there will be ways to tell.
Good point.
Now, Heather, I know you live a very busy life.
That is true.
And you mentioned before that you love to read. How do you find time to read?
Whenever I can. If it's 5 minutes, it's 5 minutes. I have been known to read standing up at the counter while I'm fixing lunches or dinners. Someone's in the tub, I'm sitting there next to the tub reading a book. You know, just whenever I can, I find the time. I have been known to read more than one book at the same time. I have them going all on every room of the house. I just, whenever I can sneak it in, I do.
So when you read, you are reading for you, not just for the job, because I know you said you do a lot of research.
I do research a lot for the job, but I do read a lot for myself. It is really a way that I have always throughout my life and continue to. That's how I decompress. I just love to read. I love to get lost in a good book.
Do you do audiobooks too?
I cannot do audiobooks. I just get distracted. I'm very, very much a visual learner, and I need to read it. If I hear it, it usually goes in one ear. I've tried so many times. I've heard of audiobooks where the narration is wonderful and they have different voices and different actors, and I always try to give it a try. I can't do it. I know that that people love them, and I completely see the value of them. I think they're a great tool for, especially for students in school that may be struggling to read, to be able to hear the book while they're reading. I think that's a fantastic tool for them. I just personally don't enjoy it.
How about a road trip?
Tried it and I get distracted. I'm looking out the window. I can't do it. Tried it. Just doesn't work for me. I will read in the car. I will risk getting car sick, but I will read the book.
So what are you reading now?
I am reading a book called 10 Tomatoes That Changed the World. I am a big gardener, and I particularly love to grow tomatoes. So this book struck my eye. It was on our new shelf. It's by William Alexander. He also wrote another one of my favorite books, which is The $64 Tomato. And
I think I remember that one.
That was if you are a gardener in any capacity, you need to read that book because you will relate completely. I found myself laughing and crying along with him the whole time. There's a chapter in that book that is my favorite where he breaks down the cost of his garden tomato and comes up with the fact that his tomato is costing him $64. I fully bought into that because I believe him. I know what it feels like to have to battle all the things you need to battle when you're trying to grow that perfect vegetable. The 10 Tomatoes That Changed the World is really fascinating. It's sort of, it's history, it's comedy. Large chunks of it take place in our home state of New Jersey. We're very, very passionate about our tomatoes in the state. And so I very much enjoyed that section of it. I'm reading that now and I'm very much enjoying it.
Is that your favorite produce to grow?
Tomatoes, yes, by far. So, fun fact. when I was in college one summer, I worked for Rutgers Cooperative Extension. And it was at the time when they were trying to rebuild the Jersey tomato market. And so they were trying to figure out what breeds of tomatoes work here in New Jersey. Heirloom tomatoes were kind of a new thing at that time, a new buzzword. And so the one nice thing about heirloom tomatoes is that people grow them because they grow well in your area. So that's the whole point. You save your seeds every year from the best tomato that grew in your garden or the best zucchini or whatever it is. And you grow it the next year, and over time, it sort of evolves to become acclimated to the conditions in your area. So Rutgers was trying to say, hey, what are the heirloom tomatoes that are going to work well in New Jersey? And so my job was to grow over 100 varieties of heirloom tomatoes in this big, giant field plot. So I spent the whole summer just kind of loving these tomatoes and growing them. Heirloom tomatoes don't stop growing. They continue to grow. They grow 6, 8, 10 feet tall, however you let them go. So by the end of the summer, I had a fantastic tan. I was in really, really good shape because I had to climb up on a ladder and put in these huge tomato steaks for them. Mm-hmm. Everything I owned turned green from being near the tomato plant.
And they have an oil.
They do. Yeah. And they have a very strong scent. Mm-hmm. And the best perk of the job was that you could take home all the produce you could eat. So I would come home at the end of the day or the end of the week with just bushels of every color of tomato, every color of the rainbow tomato. And it was a lot of fun. So I do really enjoy growing them still. That was hands down one of my favorite jobs ever. And I love to eat tomatoes as well. So it all goes hand in hand.
Learning a lot today, Heather.
Getting excited for next year's garden.
Yes. And unfortunately, so gardening in Sussex County is its own set of challenges. We have a significant deer problem here. And so, and the soil is not fantastic. So I've taken to container gardening and I grow a lot of things up on my porch. And I am committed to figuring out how to grow tomatoes that way. So
can you grow tomatoes indoors?
You can. There are some people that have had some luck with hydroponics. You can start them inside. I just find that things thrive when they're outdoors,
yeah.
And people too. I mean, you need fresh air, you need sunlight. And mm-hmm. so I will often start them inside, but as soon as they can go out, they go out.
So you always start from seed, you don't buy plants?
Not always. Okay. It depends on what seeds I have and how much time I have, how busy I am.
Yeah.
But sometimes the ones at the market that are pre-grown are just in really good shape, and it's good to go with those.
Mm-hmm. Do you read fiction?
I do. That's my favorite. My favorite kind is actually science fiction. Probably no surprise there.
No.
But I love a good book. I love one that is just well thought out and just really just lots of details, kind of takes you away. Those are my favorite kind of books to read.
Favorite author?
I have a couple. Right now, I've been loving the books by Anthony Doerr. I just read Cloud Cuckoo Land, and I really thought that was a fantastic piece of work. It just, there were so many storylines, and just the way that he brought them all together, there was, you know, historical fiction in there. There was science fiction in there. It just brought so many different things. And I would recommend that book to anybody. So I started reading some of his books, and I have to say I do really, really appreciate him as an author. I also love Emily St. John Mandel. She has a book out, Sea of Tranquility, which was a little bit of a challenge for me to read because it did have a storyline. It was similarly written to the Cloud Cuckoo Land, where there were storylines throughout different periods of time, and they all sort of wove together by the end. One of the storylines took you through a pandemic, and that was kind of the focus of the book, was pandemics. And just coming out of that time and living through it, it was a little bit hard to read. But the way that she showed pandemics through history was very interesting.
I bet a lot of people could relate to that.
I'm sure they could.
Maybe not the through history part, but
right.
at least
right.
we just live
yep.
through. Yeah.
And when I really need to just blow off steam and I want something light, I love the books by Taylor Jenkins Reid.
Oh, yeah.
I read Daisy Jones and the Six in my book club. And, you know, she has this whole little universe that she's created. One character in one book will just sort of appear for a short period of time in another book, but they sort of weave together. And I just actually, the same time I'm reading 10 Tomatoes That Changed the World, I've been reading Malibu Rising because I wanted something to kind of pull me out of winter. So that kind of beach scene was very fun. But that's sort of where I turn to when I want something lighter.
I think they're making a TV version or series out of
Daisy Jones. Yep,
correct?
They are. Yep.
Is it out already?
It is.
It is?
Yeah, it just came out.
Have you watched any of it?
Not yet.
Oh, okay. Any plans?
Yes, I'd love to watch it.
Oh, okay.
It.
All right, good.
Yeah. I usually read the book first and then see the TV show or the movie. But in this case, there's something telling me to watch it first and then read it.
Well, you do it that way and I've already read
that
the book,
way.
So then we'll compare notes
okay.
afterwards.
Okay, deal. Have you started reading a book or watching a movie not to finish it?
Yes, but only in the last, like, few years. When I was younger, I thought if I have a book, I have to finish it. Like, I was just committed to it. But now because of my time, I just figured there are, and especially working in a library, knowing how many books exist, there's more books out there. Like I said, I'm a big science fiction fan. If I start a book and the science is just bad, if it does not check out, I can't do it. The author has to give me some buy-in there. So if the science is poor, I give up. I also don't really particularly enjoy books that are overly violent or have very sensitive content. I can't do it. I know that there's a place for them, but I just don't enjoy it. And mm-hmm. so I usually give up.
Yeah, best mm-hmm. to move on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, switching up things, talking about the mobile app, we have a collection called Library of Things, which are mm-hmm. the mobile hotspots are a part of that collection. How would you search for one in the mobile app? Would you put in the word lot or library of things? Would it come up?
You could do that. If you put in library of things, our entire collection will pop up in the catalog. On our catalog's homepage, you can click on the big button that says library of things. But if you're using the app, then I would do that way. You could put in, if you want to abbreviate it, LOT would get you the same results as library of things. And the way we have it cataloged is all the things that fall under that category. So your hotspots, your virtual reality headset, sewing machine, ping pong table, cake pans. We have so many things in that collection right now. It's a lot of fun. They'll all show up and you can kind of sort through them.
That's great. What's the last lot item you checked out and actually used?
The hotspot.
Is that your favorite?
It is one of my favorites, mm-hmm. Yeah. The other thing that I checked out and we had fun with at home was the ping pong net. It comes with a ping pong expandable net, paddles, and ping pong balls, and you can make any table into a ping pong table.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, so if you are short on space in your house, yeah, if you're short on space and you don't have room for a ping pong table, it's great. It was a lot of fun.
We set it up in the basement.
and we had a really fun weekend with it.
What's the most popular library of things item?
The hotspots are very popular. I'd say that's number one. The virtual reality headset is the next most popular. And then after that is the colorblindness glasses. Mm-hmm. So if you are colorblind, we have glasses that you can try out to see if they will assist you. We have ones that are for indoor use and outdoor use, and they're youth sizes and adult sizes. So we have a wide variety of them in our catalog, but they seem to go out pretty well.
Yes, I've seen them go out, and people are very happy with them.
Mm-hmm. Heather, have you ever gone on vacation only to find that you're taking notes for work?
Probably every vacation. I've loved libraries since I was a child. Grew up down the street from one. My mom used to drag us up the hill in a little red wagon every day to get books. So going to libraries is like, it's like my safe space. I love it. Whenever I travel, I find myself in wherever I am, that place is library. And I do. I take notes. Half my camera roll and I get back is pictures of flowers and pictures of libraries. So we took a vacation last summer. We went to Maine. And we went to the southern coast of Maine, which I had no idea was as gorgeous and beautiful as it was. I expected it to be the sort of like rocky, craggy, pine tree Maine that I'm used to from the northern part. But there was beautiful sandy beaches. There was coastal towns. It was lovely. We stayed in Wells Beach. And they have an adorable library there. It was pouring buckets rain one of the days we were there. And we were camping, so we needed something to do. And I said to the kids, we're going to the library. And they were just towards the end of their summer reading program. Ironically, that day I was wearing our library's summer reading shirt. So immediately when I walked in the door, the staff and I started chatting and started talking. And they had some great programs that I've shared with some of the staff here. Took pictures of how they set up their youth services area. And then on a different day, we were in a different part of Maine. And we were doing a historic town walking tour where you kind of can just walk around and see all the historic buildings in town. One of them was their library. It was up in Wiscasset, Maine, and they said that their claim to fame was that they are the oldest continuously circulating library in America. So not the oldest library, but the library that has circulated books from their circulation desk for the longest amount of time. It looked shockingly like the Dennis Library.
Really?
It was extremely similar. Oh. So they did have a historic part of their library that they couldn't renovate, so no air conditioning, very hot, kind of. I was traumatized thinking about, what are the books doing in this heat? But that's just how, you know, they couldn't do anything in that part. And then they had another part that was slightly newer that was renovated that they had some other things in. But yes, I do find myself going to libraries very often when I'm traveling.
Do you still have pictures of that library?
I do.
I'd like to see them.
I do. I will share them.
Do you visit libraries on vacation, Sarah?
Every single time.
Yeah, me too, when I can.
And this even started before I worked in libraries. Mm-hmm. So way back, before kids, early on, my husband and I took a trip to England, and I've already talked about how I love gardening, and so we decided one of the days that we wanted to go to see Kew Gardens. So we took the train, and we got to the train stop to get out to go to visit Kew Gardens, and there was a sign, and it said, Kew Gardens, arrow this way, oldest book in England, arrow the other way. And so we went, okay, well, if we have enough time after we do all the garden, we're going to go see the oldest book in England. So we did. We went to the gardens for the day. We had a fantastic time. Took a million pictures of flowers and then got back to the train station and said, okay, we're going to walk now the other direction to go find the oldest book in England. And it was housed in their national archives. So I said, this is great. It sounds like a big fancy library to me. So we walked forever through this very nondescript little town, followed all the signs to the oldest book in England, get to the national archives, walk in the door. It's basically a town hall. It's not as exciting as I thought it was going to be. Walked in, and in my very American, you know, way, walked up to the front desk and just said, hello there, I'd like to see the oldest book in England. And the person just looked at me and went,
it's closed for repairs. And I was like, what? So we walked all that way, and they were going to be having some big celebration, and the book was being restored, and they were doing an exhibit and all this stuff. So did not get to see the oldest book in England. Still don't know what it is.
We'll have to look that up,
because now I'm curious.
Yeah, so sadly walked all the way back to the train station. But
Was this affiliated with the British Library?
It just was in their what they called their National Archives building. Oh. So it wasn't even a library. It was just like their Hall of Records where people were coming in and out, you know, doing research, legal stuff. And I was just being a tourist and didn't work out for me.
The most memorable library you've been in?
When I was on a work trip to Minneapolis in Minnesota, their library was really, really cool. It was almost completely made out of glass. So when you walked in, you could see into all, it was multi-floors, even the elevators were glass, the stairways were glass. Mm. So you could see into everything, and it was just really well laid out the way it was laid out. It just was so cool. They had the children's section on one floor, they had the teen kind of hangout area up on another floor, but you could kind of walk around and see what was going on in all the different locations. I had a little trouble in it because I get vertigo very easily, and so walking up those kind of what felt like free-floating stairs was a little unnerving, but the architecture of it was really, really neat.
Very nice.
I want to go.
What is your biggest pet peeve at work?
Okay, so we talked in the beginning how my title includes IT, which is information technology. Very often I have to deal with vendors and things like the internet goes out or the computer breaks or something happens. And when people call and try to talk me through it, they'll say, why don't you ask your IT guys? And I would like the world to know that not all IT people are guys.
No, no, they're not.
There's plenty of us that are ladies. So I will often joke in our department and we'll say we're the IT ladies or we're the IT people because we come from all walks of life. So, but I think that is just a cultural thing. You know, people are just used to saying that, call the IT guys. Mm-hmm. But there's more of us out there.
And you're helping to change the culture. It's great.
Yeah.
That you are.
Yeah. Anything else, Sarah, we want to discuss?
Yeah, I want to know if you have a last thing, unique hobby.
Oh.
I do. So
talking about the tomatoes made me think of it. And I thought,
I love growing things. And because it's my nature to go for the big challenge, can't just do it easily. I love growing orchids. I've been doing it for probably over 20 years. Absolutely love it.
They're beautiful.
They're a pain in the butt. They're so challenging. Just when you think they're happy, they'll do something like die on you.
They're fickle.
They're fickle, but when they bloom, they are so rewarding. And so that's part of it. It's part of the challenge. The orchid culture is very interesting. I was in an orchid club. There was one in Sussex County that has also suffered from COVID. I do hope it comes back. It was a great, fun thing to do. And I got involved in that many years ago. And one of the things that happens is once you own one orchid, you just want more. And you go out there and you just start amassing this collection. Mm-hmm. My collection has ebbed and flowed over the years because they do need a little bit of attention. And when I just don't have the time to give it, they suffer. But I actually won a blue ribbon from one of my orchids and I entered it in an orchid show and I got first place.
Wow.
It was a beautiful white slipper orchid.
Beautiful.
Has since died, sadly.
Rest in peace.
But yeah. So,
are any of your orchids blooming now?
Yes. One is in the midst of, it has several blooms that opened, several that are in the process of blooming, and it's one of those kind of just supermarket variety Phalaenopsis orchids that blooms for months and months. So I'm very excited to have that in my house and be happy. As spring is starting, so it's a perfect time for it to
bloom.
It's
a wonderful flower to have.
It is.
In the winter.
Yes. Yeah. And some of them are scented, and so they give off these really unique perfumes.
They know
that. Yeah. There's some that bloom during the day. There's some that bloom, and they give off their fragrance in the evening. They smell like everything from chocolate, vanilla, lime, rotten meat, like everything. They go the whole gamut, depending on what's attracted to them.
Have you been to the Duke Farms? I'm assuming you have.
I
went last year for my birthday. Yeah. I loved it.
Yes.
They have a beautiful arboretum with the Doris Duke's orchids.
Yes, they have a lovely orchid display there. They have a really nice orchid room at Longwood Gardens, too.
Oh,
so, yeah, there's lots of places you can go and kind of scope them out. But, yeah, that is a hobby that, just fair warning, if you get into it, they will steal your soul.
Well, Heather, thank you so much for joining us today. You've been a wealth of information on so many levels.
You're welcome.
Anything else you want to mention before we say so long?
I would say if you haven't been to the library in a while and you haven't checked us out, definitely come in. Stop by, check out our app, see what else we have to offer. We still have books, but we have more than books. So definitely come in and say hello.
Yes, get your library card or get your library card renewed.
Yep.
And start coming back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.